We have warm water in the ocean in Texas. And it was a great, great time as a kid to go there. And we would go to Galveston. Ever been there, Dr. Wright? Corpus Christi. And we go down and swim in the ocean, the Gulf of Mexico. And I mean, my brother and I would just run across the beach, splash right in. We had no hesitation. It was great. Playing in the waves, you know, get a little salt in your mouth at times. It was something enjoyable. Then I grew up and became an adult, and we lived in North Carolina, and I would go down, we would go take our family to the ocean there, Carolina Beach or somewhere. And the water's warm there. It's wonderful. You get in there. It's just like a bath. But as an adult, I would think about it more. And the first time I would get salt in my mouth or something, it was like, ugh. And then, you know, playing with the kids and so forth, I would feel something brush against my leg. I don't know if you've been there. But the whole perspective kind of changes from, hey, isn't this fun, to what all creatures are in here anyway? And I'm right in here with them. And I remembered about jellyfish and whatever else there are out there. Of course, sharks. And then you remember people talking about riptides and what to do if you get in the midst of one of those, taken out way out in the sea. It's pretty dangerous. So that's usually when I get out at that point. Go sit on the sand. Because even though it's fun, it's kind of scary and kind of uncomfortable, and you get all salty, and a wave comes and blasts you, and you get a big mouth of sand and salt. And it reminds me of how living life is. Living life in this world, in this old fallen world, is like that. It's kind of scary and kind of uncomfortable. It can be. Sometimes it's really scary and really uncomfortable, as far as some things we have to experience and endure. But I want us to think about today, we're going to look at a passage in the Gospel of John. John 16. I want us to think about the truth that we can trust God even in a fallen, troubled world, even in an uncomfortable, scary world, that I can trust God. In fact, He wants me to trust Him. He's promised that He'll never leave me or forsake me. And to look to Him and not to look at the world. Look at Him and not look at the waves of the sea. So, starting in John chapter 16, I want to give it a little bit of context. So we'll start in verse 16. Jesus says, "A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me." Some of His disciples then said to one another, "What is this thing He's telling us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." So they were saying, "What is this that He says, a little while? We do not know what He is talking about." Jesus knew that they wished to question Him, and He said to them, "Are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. His disciples said, Lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered each to his own home and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So just a reminder, I know I need this, a reminder that I can trust God even when the world seems a bit overwhelming. It's uncomfortable, it's painful. I can know that God is with me, that as Jesus says here, the Father loves me, that I can really trust him. So I want us to think about a few things that help give me a perspective. How can I live in this fallen world in the meantime, remembering that it's temporary, remembering that this is a journey to somewhere else? As Jesus says in another place, I go to prepare a place for you. And to trust God in this fallen, troubled world. First of all, a perspective is to accept peace. I know that for me, a lot of times, instead of just trusting what God says, I try to figure it out on my own. Have you ever done that? Why is this happening? What's going on? What does this mean? Did I do something wrong? On and on and on and on. Much like the disciples. What is this he's talking about? We do not understand. That's what they're saying. Have you ever been there? But what does Jesus say? These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. I'm telling you beforehand what's going to happen. I'm telling you beforehand that because you believe in me, the Father already loves you. That you're secure. I'm telling you beforehand that even though you have pain, it's going to end in joy. So believe me. It's coming. But you're going to make it. That's what he's saying. I think that's what he's saying to you and me today. I can trust God even in the fallen and a troubled world. Even when I feel like I'm all alone. Notice one of the themes here. He says, they say, you're the one. Nobody should question you, and we believe in you. And he says, do you believe in me? Because he knows what's going to happen. Behold, an hour is coming, has already come, when you'll be scattered each to his own home. And in that grief, in that disappointment, each to his own home, scattered. And lonely. We feel that way sometimes. Even Jesus says here, you're going to leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone because the Father is with me. We can claim that too. I'm not alone. The Father is with me. Jesus promised in John 15 and 16 that he's sending the Holy Spirit. I won't leave you alone. And he says, it's to your advantage that I send the Holy Spirit to be with you. You won't be alone. So that he can lead you and comfort you. He's your advocate. He'll give you guidance. So he's saying in chapter 17, he goes into the high priestly prayer. Says, Lord, Father, protect these that are in the world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. All the whole context of this is that the Father and the Holy Spirit, Christ himself, is going to take care of us. Bring us into the unity of the very presence of God. So we can trust in that. That's what he's trying to say. And even when you feel alone, even when you're trying to figure things out, you can trust God. Why? Accept his peace. I've spoken these words to you that you don't trust in what you think, but you trust in what I say. You don't trust in what you can figure out, but you trust in my words. And I'm telling you, it's all going to be okay. In the world, you'll have trouble. But take courage. I've overcome the world. It's all done. The world will not win. It's defeated already. This system of evil and anti-God is already defeated. So I can trust that. I can say, bottom line, I don't have to figure it out because Christ has already executed the victory over the world. So trust him, accept that peace. The problem here is a problem oftentimes of interpretation. How do I interpret the things that happen, the events that happen to me? And there's several things about this. One is, how do I interpret what it's all about? And often my default position is to think that this life and what happens to me is all about me. Is everything going swimmingly for me? Is everything fine with me? Do people like me? Am I a success? Etc., etc., etc. Do I have a nice house? It's so easy to drift off onto that path and forget what Jesus said, which is, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I don't even have a house. I don't have a nest like a bird. To me, the Father's will is my meat. That's what my purpose is, to do what he wants me to do. Isn't it easy, even for Christians, to drift into the purpose of life is me? And Jesus is telling them, the purpose here is all about me. I've given you these words so that you may find peace in me. Not in your circumstances, not in how you think things are going, not in ticking off your goals in life, but in me. I want you to know me. I want you to be aware that the Father already loves you. And you believe in me, and we're going to be as one. That's the goal. Like the great homecoming in heaven with our true Father. And really, that's what we want, isn't it? That's what my soul longs for. Where's my home anyway? And Jesus has come to tell us it's with the Father. And I'm here. He sent me. That's one of the things he keeps saying in these passages. The Father sent me here to you. That's what it's all about. It's not just about you and how you're doing. Whether your little toys are broken or fixed or whatever. It reminds me of Ruby, my little granddaughter. And little children. Things are so important to them when their toy gets broken. And I know that in probably a few months, this toy is going to be thrown in the trash. It just doesn't matter. So that perspective, am I going to really accept the peace that Christ offers me? Or am I going to try to figure things out for myself and feather my nest in this world? Or look to Him, trust in Him, knowing that He said, I've already overcome the world. So accept peace. Don't try to figure it out for yourself because you can't. Have you noticed that? I've noticed that. Even things that happened years before in my life, if I think, now that I'm old and I have a perspective, can I figure that out? Not really. Not really. But I know that God's been faithful all along. And He won't abandon me, even now. And that what He wants the most is a servant who do what He says. That's what He wanted from these disciples. He wanted them to be fishers of men. He wanted them to be His disciples and His apostles, His witnesses. And that's what He did. They did. In fact, Jesus over here prayed for us. Not only does He pray that they'll protect the disciples, these apostles, but also you and me, those who believe because of their word. In John 17, He prays for you and me even today because we believe because of their witness of the resurrection. So accept peace. I really have that choice every day. Am I going to invest everything in this temporary world, even though I'm an eternal child of God? Am I going to try to figure it out for myself, or am I going to accept what Jesus says about what the facts are on the ground? He's with me. He has a job for me. He wants me to be His representative in this world, His disciple, His follower, to be like Him in this world. And He's never going to leave me. He's already promised me the Father in heaven, the Creator's love, just simply by believing. So I live that way every day, trusting in Him. So that's the first perspective. Accept that peace. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to do it myself. A lot of times we do that too. I'm going to do this. Like, can you imagine a football player in college or pro football, and he comes into the locker room and he says, takes off his shirt, and he says, look at these muscles. Hey guys, look at these muscles. You guys think you're men, but today I'm going out on that field and I'm not going to wear pads. That'd be loony, wouldn't it? But sometimes we do that without thinking about it. I can handle things. I'm going to do this. My great and wonderful spiritual heart. My care that I have for people. My specialness to God. But we got to put on those pads. We got to put on that armor. We got to trust God. And then go out on the field of battle, on the playing field, trusting in Him. As He says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. There's no peace anywhere else, only in Christ who is with me. So accept that peace. Don't go for another alternative. Also, second perspective is expect trouble. Accept peace. Trust Christ, everything He has to offer, the Holy Spirit that He promises as our advocate, and then expect trouble. The worst promise in the Bible: in you, in the world you have tribulation. In the world you will have trouble. Can I get a witness? Just living is troublesome. I remember when I was a teenager, I was walking along in my sandals, and we were on vacation at this wonderful place. But there was a bit of concrete in the parking lot that was raised just a little bit, and my toe came in contact with that, that the perfect pendulum of the swing of my foot, and that really hurt. Was that my fault? It was. You think it was? I didn't think it was my fault. But that really hurt. I always remember that. And my toenail came off and everything. It was horrible. Oh. TMI, I guess. Too much information. But that's what living is like. It's a problem. But in addition to that, we know that we have adversaries. That people don't like God. The people really hate Jesus. John 15 and 16, he talks about that. They're going to hate you because of me. They're going to take you out of the synagogues. They're going to put you in jail. They're going to beat you. They're going to do all these things, and you're going to have pain because of me. So just living life, plus for a Christian, the adversity of being in a spiritual battle. That not only are there people walking around in the world that hate Christians, but there's the God of this world, our adversary. All of that is against us. And yet, and Jesus has already told them that. He's told them what's going to happen. It's going to be a problem. So expect trouble. Can you imagine a football player, maybe in a college game, and he goes out there and he gets the ball and he's running and some guy just tackles him and makes a great tackle, knocks him back. He goes back to the coach and he said, Coach, the guy hit me really hard. What would the coach say? Do you know what this game is? This is a contact sport, friend. This is football. There's no crying in football. There's no crying in baseball. You expect contact. And in a sense, that's what Jesus is saying. In the world, you will have tribulation of all sorts. But there's no reason for it to come out of the blue and blindside you. Because I've just told you it's going to happen. So expect it. Expect tribulation in the world. It's going to happen. But what are you going to do? Are you going to shrink back? Are you going to become unfaithful? Are you going to say, in spite of this and because of this, I'm going to still proclaim the name of Jesus? I'm still going to do what's right. I'm still going to claim that I'm His and not this world's. You know, if we think about it, we try to teach our children to mature. A part of that is to just endure things and to be responsible. If you have a job, when you wake up in the morning, I don't know about you, but every single morning, I jump out of bed with a cheer and say, I have a job today. That means I got to get up early and I just love this. Is that? No, I don't do that. Why do I do that? Because it's the right thing. Because I've matured. I've endured the pain of having to get up in the morning, take a shower, whatever. Because I know that I need to. I know that it's mature, that I need to have a job to pay my bills, take care of my family. So we teach, that's a basic thing, even in the world system, to endure, to do what's right for somebody else's sake, so that I honor my Father in heaven and the name of Jesus. So we keep on going. We're like soldiers. Do the right thing. Reflect Christ in my life, even if there's trouble. A lot of times, I don't know why, but in church circles, there's a stream of thinking that says, if I get caught up in this wonderful feeling and spirit of things, then everything's going to go right. But I don't think most of us experience that very often. We can have the mountaintop. Hey, there's Elijah and Moses and everybody's here. Let's build a shack. But then there's always coming down off the mountain. And that's the crucible, isn't it? That's the testing time. And the Bible is full of telling us that's what's going to happen. Your faith will be tested. What are you going to do? Don't be surprised. Count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, because you know it increases and strengthens your faith. It's sort of like, you know, I've been a Christian a long time. Since I was 6 years old, I've been reading the Bible, I have degrees, all this stuff. So whenever somebody says, hey, you want to play Bible trivia, I say, let's do it. And I don't always know all the questions, but I have a good chance of winning. I like to win games, just like anybody. So James is saying that's how we ought to look at it. This is a great opportunity for me to exercise my faith and see what God will do. Instead of turning that upside down and, well, this is such a setback. Why would God do this? Instead, Jesus is saying, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. Expect it. Expect trouble. That's part of the journey in this life to make you like Christ. And there's a guarantee all the way through the New Testament that whatever trouble you're going through, God is using that for your benefit, to draw you to Himself, to make you more like Him. It says that over and over and over. Expect the trouble. Almost like embrace it. Count it all joy. Because it's an opportunity to trust God. What's God going to do here? It doesn't seem like we're winning when we're in the midst of the trouble, does it? Did it seem like the Patriots were winning in the second half? Halftime? But they won in the end. That's the story of Christianity. I love to watch games for my favorite teams, but I like to watch them after we've already won. And if the team gets down and everything's horrible and you see their heads drop, just like happened to the Patriots, did you see the close-up of Tom Brady's eyes when they were losing? That's how we feel. But I know somehow I'm watching it, my team's going to win though. You see, that's the message of the Bible. My team's going to win. I expect trouble. But what a celebration after we have this great comeback. The greatest comeback of all, the man who died and came back to life. That's my story. So expect trouble. And then also declare victory. Jesus says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but take courage. Some versions say, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we can declare victory. Accept the peace. Trust in Him, not my own understanding, not feathering my nest. That's all about me, but it's about Him. Expect trouble, but declare victory. I have overcome the world. And what a wonderful thing it is to see that Jesus lifts us up, carries us into His own victory. This next chapter, he talks about the glory that I had with you from the beginning, that glory I'm sharing with these disciples. I have overcome the world. So in this world, in my journey, however hard it is, however alone I might feel, I can say, no matter what, The world does not overcome me. Christ overcomes the world, already has overcome the world. And I have the victory. The victory is in hand. And I can live out of that truth, trusting that it's already finished. When Jesus rose again and he came in the garden there, and some of the very first people saw him, the women, he said, "Rejoice." In essence, everything's different. Don't let your mind and your heart go back to believing it's the same old grind and I'm trudging through. No. Take courage. Be of good cheer. Christ has overcome this world. And the tribulation that I have, he's only using for greater glory in the end. For the great comeback that I'm going to be part of. I like to use this illustration in several different sermons, but you never hear at the Super Bowl party when they're interviewing the guys, "Hey, now that you've won the Super Bowl, was it worth it all? Everything you had to go through, all the spring training, all the setbacks, all the trouble, all the pain, all the injuries, was it worth it all?" You'll never hear the guy in the midst of the victory say, "You know, it wasn't really." He'll always say, "Yes, it was worth it." It was worth it. So that's why we do the right thing, even if there's trouble. Because it's worth it. Beyond what we can imagine now, the victory party, the supper that the Lord has prepared for you and me, it's ultimately going to be totally worth it. So we trust God in the midst of a fallen, troubled world. Accept his peace. Live out of his peace, his purpose, his presence, his plan, not my purpose. It's not about my comfort. Otherwise, he wouldn't have thrown me out into the ocean where there's salt, right? And sharks. But he's with me. Expect trouble and declare victory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can totally rely upon you, that you have the power, you have the plan, that you love us in a way that we can't even understand, that you've given us of your very self through the Holy Spirit, new life, that we're new creations. Help us to live that out in this world as we trust you. In spite of the tribulation, in spite of the trouble, in spite of the times we stump our toe, in spite of the adversary, we pray that we will be your salt and your light in this world. To count it a privilege, Lord, to endure tribulation for your name's sake. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.